Hello and welcome to Adulting with Ebony, the podcast where each week I explore what it means to be a kick-ass and kind adult in our modern world. Expect strong language and viewpoints, as no topic is out of bounds here. My guests and I will navigate the complete spectrum from wildness to responsibility with compassion and curiosity rather than expectation. I'm Ebony Allard and I'm a misfit turned maven, an author, a coach and your host for Adulting with Ebony. Come on then, let's do this. Hi and welcome to this week's episode. Today I'm joined by Lawrence Shorter, who is a creative entrepreneur, speaker, coach and recently a talk show host. His books include The Optimist, One Man's Search for the Brighter Side of Life, a global tour of the world's most positive people and The Lazy Guru's Guide to Life, a cartoon book to flow that advocates doing nothing as a new approach to mindfulness. He lives in East Sussex with his wife and his two kids and helps stressed out business leaders to relax when he's not at home writing. Hey, Lawrence.
Hiya.
Thanks for coming and having this conversation with me.
You're welcome. That was a nice intro.
Well, it better be. You wrote it.
That's how forgetful I am. But it did make me think that I sometimes find it hard to celebrate my own successes, and so every time someone reads out a bio, it's nice.
It is nice.
I did do that, you know.
It's one of the reasons I love to have people that I really like on this show and then read their bio, because I'm lazy, which is why I'm not going to read it afterwards and add it in. I'd just do it all in one go. Like, it's more efficient, but also I genuinely enjoy reading people's bios to them, because it is very rare that someone does that while you're there. The only other time is just before you're about to go on stage, when quite frankly, you're not listening to what they're saying about you in any way, shape or form. Cause you're like, what am I doing? Who am I? What am I saying? Or at least that's my experience.
Yeah. True. And, I also noticed that when I do the chat show, I saw a recording, a live recording of the chat show I did at the Happy Startup Summer Camp last night. And I was amazed by how much I just hadn't taken in as the host of the show interviewing these guests. And I'm so occupied with thinking about what's going to happen next and with process and the audience that I wasn't able to take in what they actually said. And so I was listening to it on this replay. It's like, wow, they're saying some fascinating things. And so it just shows that our ability to kind of absorb and take anything in at any one point is very determined by whether whether I think I'm responsible for something or not, if I have to pay attention to other things. and I guess that's a sort of metaphor for the whole of life, because we're always sort of focusing on what needs to happen and what needs to get done next. And so how often do I celebrate the fact that I have written two books and I've coached lots of people and I've been all over the world and spoken with fascinating and interesting people and all sorts of other wonderful things I've done, and celebrating and appreciating myself really comes at the very bottom of the list. I almost have to get my face sort of pressed in it. Have someone to grab me by the back of the head and shove my face in the mud and say, no, look what you've done.
I actually really want to dive into this more, because there's some stuff. I was at that the talk show that you did at summer camp, and that's kind of where we met, and I want to dive into that a little bit more. But before we do that, I want to get your take on adulting, because this show, like, people always think that I have my shit together, which is why I run a show called Adulting with Ebony. And the truth of the matter is that it's all held together with tape and string and smoke and mirrors. And that really, I need to be reminded of what being an adult is all of the time, because otherwise I'll just lie on the sofa and watch Netflix.
I think if it was called being an adult, you could be accused of that. But adulting is perfect, because it suggests you're becoming an adult and you never stop becoming an adult. And I would say that's for sure true. What does it mean to me, adulting? I think it's a really cool word, very interesting word. But there is, the first thing that came to me when you asked me that question was when I had my children, which I've had two boys later in life than many people. I'm in my late 40s. I could draw a line between before and after. It's a grey line because it took me a while to grow up, but I've grown up very quickly. And if I look back to my mid-40s, before I had children, I was in many ways narcissistic, self-obsessed. I had loads of time on my hands to do all that thinking and reading and, you know, just wondering about things. And I wasn't responsible for anyone except myself. And that's a tough spot to be in. I don't envy it, actually, now that I don't have it. But I do feel different from how I felt before. Mm. And I'm responsible in some, you know, cosmic and practical sense for the survival of some other humans. And I feel different. And I feel more adult. I feel like an adult. But I do sometimes catch myself feeling too much like an adult, and it's boring the hell out of me. And I can hear myself talking and saying, well, what should we have for dinner tonight? Or what shall we, what time shall we pick up Albert? Or are we doing the right thing with this and that? And now I said, my God, I'm starting to sound to myself very, very banal and boring. And it's not that I've got a problem with the ordinary, although I might, but I don't think it's that. I think it's that that when I become an adult, you can step into some archetypes of what an adult means, because when you were a kid, there were adults around, so you start behaving like an adult. I don't want to behave like an adult. I want to be an adult. So I'm enjoying I'm enjoying being an adult, and I'm not always enjoying behaving like an adult.
I really like that delineation. And actually, I think that that is going to lead me into the kind of meat of what I wanted to talk to you about, because I really liked this idea. So tell us what the talk show that you did at summer camp and that you're going to do soon, what's your talk show about?
Well, I've always been a performer and wanted to find, I started my performing as a comedian. Mm-hmm. In my early 30s, actually later. I do everything in life late, including losing my virginity and learning how to drive. So it's not just that I'm slow off the mark with my career. I'm slow off the mark with everything. And so I started doing comedy in my 30s, stand-up comedy. And I moved away from it because I felt that the depth of vulnerability and conversation and insight for me wasn't sufficient for me. Mm-hmm. And got into coaching and working with leaders but ever since then, I love being on stage in front of people, and I love that humor and absurdity, and I love the performance of comedy, and I wanted to bring them together, and I thought, how better bring them together than just have some of those conversations on stage? Because as a coach, when I listen to people in their darkest moments or in their confessions of what it's like to be a human, I find myself so deeply entertained. And I don't mean I'm laughing at them at all. I just mean it's the most gripping and engaging subject matter. And yet it's funny. And I notice that when I talk about myself and my own woes, you know, it's funny. And so there's something lightening and beautiful about sharing our own the tragedies and struggles of being a human, because most of them are petty. I don't mean the real tragedies of grief and loss, but the tragedies that we take to be tragedies. And so finding, you know, like, no, I don't feel like, you know, I don't feel I'm good enough or whatever. That's a kind of ridiculous tragedy, because of course I'm good enough. And so sharing those things, I wanted to give people a chance to have those conversations on stage and share them, and everyone to hear that everyone is just like me. We're all bloody half mad, and we can all have a laugh about it. And so I started doing this, and I realized, well, that already exists. It's a chat show. That's a TV chat show. You know, that's what they do, except they don't talk about the inner stuff. So I just wanted to subvert it a little bit. And I worked with a very talented director, comedy director, to help me come up with this idea. And finally, I'm like, this is it. It's a chat show, but it's a spiritual chat show. And isn't that going to be weird? And so I've done it, you know, this will be the next week's performance will be the sixth or seventh one. Each one's been different. Each time I have three guests, someone wise, someone creative, someone funny, usually that combination. Mm-hmm. And there's a different theme. The first one we did was God. Why is it so awkward to talk about God? You know, it's easier to talk about sex than God, right?
Not if you're English, surely.
No, even if you're English. People would rather talk about sex now, these days, not 20 years ago, but now. Yeah. I'd much rather talk about sex than God. God's much more personal and weird and a bit old-fashioned. So I like to talk about taboo subjects. So God mm-hmm. was the first one. Death was the next one.
Yeah.
And then I did anxiety and success, the one you came to. And then next week, so I don't know what it's going to be yet. So each time there's a theme, and that just sort of catalyzes and brings people together around a question that we're all struggling with.
So what I love about this, because my whole exploration on this show and in my work really is this line between wildness and responsibility. It's around having fun and adult, you know, behaving like an adult, as you called it. There is this line, and we need to be both. And I've more and more got into, like, we're also responsible for our fun, we're also responsible for our pleasure. And what I love about these conversations that you're having is you're picking very adult topics or themes. So the kind of, you know, death and, you know, may as well be taxes and sex and God and, you know, all of that stuff. It is, you know, money, let's call it instead. Those are the topics that you don't talk about, but they're very adult topics. And no one talks about it. So no one teaches us about it. So we all have this kind of stuff going on inside us that is completely neurotic and when shared, absolutely hilarious.
Yeah, that's right. That's it. You nailed it. So that's my current fun, passion, joy, hobby project, and so I feel very excited about it.
Did you at one point take yourself very seriously? So we talked a little bit about anxiety on that show that I watched. You talked about anxiety, and we've talked about, you know, other things and finding stuff late in life. Did you take yourself very seriously and then have a transformation where you were able to take yourself less seriously? Or have you always been able to kind of take yourself not so seriously?
I'm looking at, as I look out the window here, we've just moved house, so I'm still getting to know the view from my office. And what I can see is a row of six houses in the alley behind our house. And the rooftops go down each time they go down. It's going down a hill. It's like a hill with different steps, like steps going down a hill. And that would be how I have experienced my transitions, not a sudden moment of taking myself less seriously, but a sort of progressive, because I still take myself far too seriously. And then what else is feeling in a bad mood or feeling stuck than taking myself too seriously? I mean, and I get stuck and get in a bad mood, you know, often. So that's me taking myself too seriously. But do I take myself less seriously? Yes, of course. What do I take less? I take some sort of, one thing that hugely lifted off me was this sort of need to think everything through. I used to just have to just try and analyze everything and take notes and sort of write bullet points and strategies. And oh God. And then to going through the whole, you know, this whole when you discover coaching for the first time, and you find books on coaching yourself, and it's just such fun, you know. But you can just like try all these, do these thought exercises and models on yourself, and ask yourself what your purpose is, and do all this. You know, who am I, and what do I stand for, what are my values, and I just obsess over those things, and realize after quite a long time, maybe several years of doing that kind of thing, always trying to get to who am I, who am I. What should I do? But it never went anywhere. And I was getting to know myself really well, but until it translated into action, it didn't really mean anything. And it didn't translate into action because I was so addicted to the whole process of taking myself seriously and figuring everything out. And so I think letting go of that, having to think everything through, has been a huge weight off my head, huge. And now what I do when I sit in a train or I've got a moment, I mainly just don't do anything. I just let my head go empty, and I'm really reluctant to read a book or look at my phone because it's such a pleasure to feel my head just open and empty. And that space, you know, that's what a weight, not have to think about things. And I guess at some point in life, you realize I'm not going to read every book ever. And I'm not going to watch every box set ever. I'm never going to watch all the Netflix things I really would like to. And you, and at some point you kind of get that and you let go of it. And you go, fuck it, I just do nothing.
Do you, or is there a level of like, to me, there's a couple of different things that happen in that. It's like, you've got to know yourself, right? And I absolutely also know that there's a level of getting to know yourself that eventually becomes navel gazing, right? Like, if you're not going to do anything with it, then it is just navel gazing. But actually getting to know yourself, understanding your propensities and you know, how you, that you are a thinker, because not everyone is a thinker and not everyone does, you know, would spend all of their time consuming books. A lot of my people are and would, and they're terrible at actually just getting off their asses and doing something. And then other people are like all action and then like, oh, I don't really know where I'm headed or why I'm headed in that direction. I seem to have ended up here by taking lots of action and it's got no meaning, right?
Well, I think there's some nice frameworks for this. I think it's Kagan, the Kagan model of transformation, where there's three stages. The first stage is the socialized mode, where you're just behaving according to beliefs that you've inherited essentially or picked up along the way. And your main driver is to belong, you know, or to succeed according to those. And at some point, there's a pivot in which you become self-authoring. And the self-authoring, for me, that started really much later than I would like to acknowledge, but probably when I went to India for the first time in my mid-30s. Oh my God, you know, all the things I was already trying to write a book, but I was doing it from a mentality of wanting to succeed to please my parents or whatever. And then everything turns upside down, and self-authoring is where you get into that whole coaching mode, where you realize you're like this kind of computer device. You have software and you can reprogram yourself as I find out who you are and how do you work. And it's amazing. And then, like you say, you realize that reaches a point where that's tremendously useful. And then there's a point where he's like, oh, I'm kind of stuck. And I'm noticing that things just keep showing up in the same way. The patterns keep repeating. And then to transform, to go up to the next level, is called the generative state. It's a state where you're not in analysis or self-reflection anymore. You're in kind of, you're just sort of in knowing action, and you're acting from a place of knowing. And I'm not saying I'm there yet, but I'm in that kind of slightly uncomfortable, like, transition point between the two, where the self-authoring, self-analysis stuff isn't working anymore. And yet I'm not totally able to trust myself and just be and do. I still need to reflect and analyze, you know, step back and so on. And I think the great empower of that generative mode is to do nothing. I think for many people it's meditation or yoga or running but the essence of it is I'm not going to fix anything right now. I'm not going to do anything. I'm going to step back from engaging in the outside in approach, and I'm just going to stop and let everything settle. That's, I think, the great battery, the great resource for that state, for me anyway.
Absolutely. I had as you were speaking, I have this kind of image of proving bread. It's like we can learn all this information, which is like mixing together the dough, right, for making bread, and then at some point you've got to stop kneading it, otherwise you're going to ruin it, and just let it prove, right, and like let it turn into the thing that it is, because there's an alchemical transmutation that gets to happen. You kind of alchemize, and I think for me personally, discovering where my alchemization takes place has been hugely pivotal to that last piece of like trusting myself to just be, and also surrounding myself by people who I have given permission to alert me when they see me in a particular place and tell me what to do about it. So last week is a wonderful example. I'd reached a place of like I often do this because left to my own devices, I believe that I'm responsible for the entire planet. And so I was in a place where I was working too much, had reached like, I must do this and I must do this and I must do this and I'm exhausted and I have to have some time off, but I can't possibly do it until I've fixed the whole world. And my team said to me, now you have told us when you get to this stage that what you need to do is turn the computer off, go and have an Epsom salt bath, go for a walk, go for a swim and watch your favorite show on Netflix. We will not talk to you until you have done those things, because right now, if you try and do any of those things, you're doing it from a place of not enoughness, from a terrible vibration. Please go and take care of yourself. And I love that I've given people in my life permission to tell me what to do and reflect my words back to me so that I can go, because there's nothing I can say to that other than yes, I will go and do that now, thanks.
Yeah, that's so right. I mean, yeah, and that's why we're lucky enough to be with someone in our, you know, relationship life that can knows us well enough to say that. That's also wonderful. And I often even resist it. I know you should lie down. No, I don't need to lie. You should lie down. No. and on the lying down note, for me, just getting horizontal during the day, if I'm stuck or if I'm getting, like, I get into a mode, I can easily get into a sort of ADHD mode where I'm like very, very subtly panicking when I haven't figured out what I should be focusing on. And it happens frequently to me. Like the kind of scared or wounded child who didn't quite get held properly at whatever developmental moment where he was trying to figure out structure or what to do, that'll come up when I'm facing a to-do list, when I say, well, what's the most important thing to do? I'm going to get horizontal, I'm going to lie down. Immediately, my sort of amygdala response that's been fired up, the fight or flight thing, very subtly. I lie down, my whole body, the whole limbic system sort of relaxes. And immediately I can think in a more creative and resourceful way. And so that's a great example. I don't need to necessarily take the whole day off and the whole evening off, but I might. And if I let it go too far without chilling out, I will have to take the whole day off, you know, or I have to take the whole afternoon off, because the wounded child gets more and more pissed off.
Yep.
And upset.
Yep. I need to take my own advice more often. I said to someone, literally yesterday, I said to someone, she said, I need a whole day off, or like, maybe I need a week's holiday. And I'm like, maybe you just need to walk around the block. So she got up and went for a walk around the block, came back and messaged me to say, I feel much better now. And I don't do it. I wait, you know, not always, obviously, because I'm quite good at doing my life, but very often, more often than I would like to admit, I get myself into a state where it requires Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and most of Monday for me to recover to a place where I want to show up and I can be effective again.
Wow. Yeah. You're giving a lot.
Yeah.
You're giving out a lot of energy. You're putting out a lot of energy.
Yeah, and it always happens at this time of year. So, well, so in the winter, so from kind of October to February, I don't operate as well. So I think that I can do as much in the autumn and winter as I can in the spring and summer. And I can't. I'm a very, very seasonally affected human. Mm. My output in the summer is double what it is in the winter.
Interesting.
And so now that I know that, I can arrange my business, which is why I said, you know, I don't work December and most of November, you know, so, well, can I slow down in November? I don't work December and I slowly go into January because I don't want to, and I'm not very good at it. And I'd much rather work longer in the summer.
Well, if I follow the same kind of formula, I would say that, I don't work particularly well in the winter, but the trouble with the summer is that it's just so sunny and I want to be outdoors, and I really hate being stuck indoors doing desk work when it's summer, and then so autumn and spring, those are my best times. And I also would say, like, time of the day is an interesting one, isn't it, to know.
Yeah.
You get to know your time of day. Like, I'm not great first thing in the morning and I'm not great late at night. And I'm in the middle of the day. It's kind of, I'm not a night owl or an early bird. I'm just a kind of middle of the day person, you know, get going, like, get the engine cranking up by like 10:30, 11, wind down around 5.
I actually think that's really normal. And I think that society doesn't recognize that enough. And actually part of adulting is really having the balls to set your own schedule, particularly if you are an entrepreneurial and you work for yourself. It's like, why leave work and then go and recreate the exact same box to go and stand in? It seems ridiculous to me.
Yeah, oh, so easy to do it. I mean, I've been out of paid employment for since 2002. You know that, and I still, wow, how many boxes do I put? I have to manage myself. I mean, I am my own manager, and you know, that sounds great, but actually it's a pain in the ass.
Oh, it's terrible. It's one of the first things I outsourced when I started building a team.
Yeah, because you're outsourcing someone managing you, you mean?
Yeah, I have a manager. That's what she does. She manages me and she manages the team. It's great. I'll introduce you if you like.
I need a manager. Damn.
Absolutely. I have a manager. Dara, if you're listening, love you. She is amazing. And I definitely reached a point where I'm like, I just don't want to manage myself anymore or the team.
And that manager, she's not an executive assistant or a PA. She's actually your manager. She tells you what to do. A bit of both.
We figure it out together and then she tells me what to do.
Wow.
Yeah.
On a day-to-day basis?
No, I couldn't handle that once a week because I don't need to be micromanaged. I just need to be told what I'm focusing on when.
Oh, that's amazing.
But it's top line me and then her and then me, right? So I get to do both roles because I am the CEO of the company, but I'm also the person, I'm also the kind of creative, right? So, and it's the same for you. So I know what the company wants to deliver year on year. And so we will discuss that back and forth. And then it becomes her responsibility to pin me down to do it because I become the artist and the coach essentially. And
I'm accountable. She's accountable to do that.
We're going to have a whole other conversation about this off air because otherwise we'll just chat for a whole other half an hour about the insides of my business, which if you want to hear, people listening, message me and we'll do a whole show on that.
Well, listen, I mean, just tell me if there's any other last question or questions because I see we're getting up to time and I feel like there's so much to talk about. And
I feel like this has been really, really interesting and permissive for a lot of people. I think that it's great to hear you talking about the success that you have had for yourself as you've got to know yourself better. And, you know, even though you say it in a like, oh, I wish it happened and wish it happened and earlier and I was late to this and I was late to that, actually it's so important for us to share the reality of those things because so many people who are listening to this who are in their 20s and don't have their shit figured out yet feel like they're past it and they're too old. And I feel like it's really important for everybody to know that that's just not true.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's, I mean, when I was, I remember when I was 16 or 17, I used to feel past it because, you know, my family were all into classical music and the whole, we all knew that Mozart had written his first symphony when he was 6 years old. I just felt like shit about that. And I was 16. I mean, can you believe it? I felt too old. And then when I was 18, Chekhov was writing his first short stories when he was 12, and, you know, whatever. So you're always too old. And you're never too old. It's always, yeah, I think that's really important. And I don't think there's any end to figuring yourself out, but it does get you. Yeah.
Thank you. If people want to come and listen to more of you, find out about the talk show, come and get some coaching, where's the best place for them to come?
You can look me up on Facebook, Lauren Shorter. Come to my chat show next week, 22nd of January at the Betsy Trotwood. And you'll find details, hopefully, on Facebook or my website,
and we'll get them off you and we'll put them on here as well, so it's really easy for people to click through.
Yeah, you can find me. I'm around. Giggle me.
Excellent. Okay. Will you do an I'm an adult but with me?
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
I'm gonna make you go first as well.
I'm an adult but I'm addicted to various things like tea and coffee and I can't shake it, and that tells me that I'm not grown up yet.
Oh. Really? Addiction means you're not a grown-up?
Well, not as grown-up as I would like. I just, you know, if I were walking my talk, I would be more disciplined and kind to myself and not to put myself through the strain that I don't need to. I don't need, but I'd like it.
Yeah, okay, so my one, I'm going to go off the back of that today. So I'm an adult, but I eat at all the wrong times. Yeah. I'd happily eat my dinner at 10 o'clock at night, even though I'm just about to go to bed.
Too bad. Stop it.
So bad for my stomach. And then I wake up in the morning with a tummy ache. I'm like, why have I got a tummy ache? Oh, because you ate and then went to sleep before it was able to digest. That was stupid. Yeah.
You know, before we finish, do you know the sketch Stop It? Have you seen that?
No.
So for those of you, for you or anyone who hasn't seen it, just YouTube Stop It comedy sketch. And it's brilliant. It's an old American thing, and it's about a therapist and a patient, and I will say no more about it. I don't want to spoil it. Stop it.
Okay. Well, yes, Jazz is going to love me. She's the one that's going to be finding that and sticking it in the show notes for us. You, dear listener, get to scroll and just go, oh, yes, and go and listen and watch that. Thank you so much, Lawrence. It's been a real pleasure having you on the show.
I've enjoyed it. I look forward to the next one.
Yay.
This has been Adulting with Ebony. I have been Ebony. You have been great. Thank you so much for all of your support. Please keep listening, liking, rating, sharing so that more people can come and enjoy and engage with us. Really, thank you. I'll see you next time.